First John chapter 4. I do want to thank you all for the kind cards and words for Pastor's appreciation. It was real encouragement to my family and to myself, so thank you. I also want to acknowledge a minor miracle. Our football team won, its first playoff game in 50 years. So, good job, Cannon. So, yeah, I know it's a team effort. I think the town's pretty excited. I think I had a page something about fire trucks and all kinds of stuff. Did they fire trucks come and escort the bus in last night when it came in last night? So yeah, big deal. All right, 1 John chapter 4. And a couple weeks ago we talked about a life of sin and how a life that's dedicated in the pursuit of sin is incompatible with a life in knowing God, a life that has a relationship with God. It's incompatible with the gospel. It's incompatible with love. And so now we see John talking about love. He's talked about love several times here, and each time he comes around, he brings new things in. He gets deeper into truly what it means to love. And in a sense here, we're going to see that there is this debt, a debt of love that we owe each other as the church, as the people of God. I think back to the garden and the relationship that Adam and Eve had with each other, the relationship that they had with God was certainly built on love, on perfect, selfless love. I can't imagine what that must have been like. And then sin destroyed that. Right? Sin destroyed those relationships. It brought selfishness into those relationships and destroyed them. And yet it's reclaimed in the gospel and the good news. That our relationship with God that was broken through sin is reclaimed and restored through Jesus Christ. And now we are asked to do the impossible, that which is impossible in our sin nature, that which is impossible to do in our flesh, and that is to love God and to love each other. Sacrificially, selflessly, to give of ourselves to God and to give of ourselves to each other. That is what is asked, and that's what's asked because we have been redeemed, we've been cleansed of our sin, we are a new creation. And so John is going to give us the why. Why is it that we love? And we see six reasons here of why we love. And so we'll start off in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. We love, first of all, because it's our new nature. It's our new nature. Verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So John proclaims to us that God is love. That God is certainly the essence of love. That it is his nature. Perfectly balanced with his holiness. Perfectly balanced with his righteous judgment and his righteous wrath against that which is unrighteous. That which is unfair. That which is evil. That which is wicked. Perfectly balanced with that. And so John says those who are born of God. And Jesus said in John chapter 3. He says we're born again. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We are reborn. We have a new birth. We exhibit now a new nature. And so John says those who have been born of God exhibit this exact same nature that God has. This nature of love. And so if we know God, if we have a relationship with God, then we also will love as God has loved, selflessly, sacrificially. The one, as John says here, the one who does not know God, the one who does not have a relationship with God, cannot love as the scriptures say that we should love. They live a life of self-love. They live a life promoting self at the expense of others, taking advantage of others. And so John says that's not of God. It's not of God. And so we love, as John says here, because it's our new nature. It's who we are. In Jesus Christ, in this new birth, we have this new nature, and that nature is to love. And so first of all here, John starts with that thought. It's our new nature. And then second, we love because God loved us first. Verse 9, God loved us first. Verse 9 says, "In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent us His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So the greatest example, as John points out to us here, the greatest example and demonstration of love that has ever occurred is Jesus Christ. That God became a man. He was born into this world. He humbled Himself and became a man. And offered Himself as a sacrifice for us who are helpless in our sins. We cannot reconcile ourselves to God. We need the blood of Jesus Christ. And so John says, right, that is the greatest example. That's the greatest demonstration of love that could ever be. And so God demonstrated that to us first. Right, first. Long before we had any inkling of God or any desire to love God, He loved us first. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He came as a man. He offered Himself as a sacrifice for us. That's the demonstration of love that God has given to us. And so we love because He showed us first that He loved us. He reached out to us first. And so because of that love, then we reciprocate that certainly to God for what He has done for us. And as John keeps trying to point out here, to each other, as the family of God, we love because God loves us. John uses this phrase, only begotten. Only begotten Son. And we see this throughout certainly the New Testament and in the other Gospels as well. But John uses this phrase more than anyone else. It's one of his favorite phrases in referring to Christ as the only begotten Son. And John is using that to proclaim that Jesus certainly is unique. He's unique above any of God's other children, right? We are God's children. We've been born again. We are His children. But Christ, right, is unique. He's the only begotten. He is distinct from the creation. He was not created. He is God come in the flesh, and it speaks to certainly His preexistence as God, as Creator. He's the only one. He is the firstborn. And He was sent into the world to die for us that we might live, that we might have eternal life through Him. That's the love that has been shown to us. And as John uses this big word again, propitiation, at least in the New King James, that's what it says. And that word means to make amends, to appease God. It's that thought of when there's conflict and there's, right, dissension. There's two people that they're in disagreement and they can't get along. And there's the one who comes and is able to appease both sides and bring them back together. That's Christ. Because we are separated from God. We're deserving of His eternal wrath and His eternal judgment because of our disobedience, because of our sin. And Christ came and our sin was placed on Him, and God's wrath, His holy justice and righteousness was satisfied in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. And so He is a propitiation. He is the one who has appeased God's wrath. He satisfies perfectly God's righteous demands for justice. God loved us first. And so John makes this point here. He says, if that is the love that has been shown to us, beloved, use the word beloved there, those who are loved of God, if that's been shown to you, then you owe it to each other to love. To love each other. That word ought there, at least in the New King James, says it ought, has that thought of debt to it. In a good way. In a good way, that we certainly are obligated. If God so loved us, rhetorical question, right? Obvious answer, then we also ought to love each other. We owe it to each other to love each other. We owe each other love. Because God has loved us. To give of ourselves, to be selfless. In a relationship within the church. That's the context here, within the church. Number three, we love because it testifies of God. It testifies of God. Verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Love certainly is at the core of our testimony. It's at the core of our witness for Christ to the world, to the unbelieving, to those who haven't placed their faith in Christ. As John points out here, God is no longer physically here. Right? He's not physically here. Yes, I understand that God in spirit certainly is everywhere. But physically, right? Jesus ascended. Jesus is not here anymore. God in the flesh is no longer here on this earth physically. And so his love then is expressed through us, through his church, through the body of Christ, to the world. Certainly in the form of the gospel and the giving of truth and the giving of the good news of who Jesus Christ is and what Christ has done for them. And so John says that this love is being made perfect in you. That thought is being completed in us and expressed through us to the world. To those who are not a part of the body of Christ, to those who are outside, to those who are unbelievers, that they might believe, that they might know who Jesus Christ is. We were all there at one time. We were all unbelievers at some point in time. Until God in his grace and his mercy showed us truth. And we believed and we understood it. And so we love because it testifies of who God is, who our God is. To those around us. Number four. We love because we abide in him. We abide in him. Verse 13. It says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So we love because we abide in him. So here's this confidence, here's this assurance in our relationship with God. As John says here, we abide. We have the Spirit of God that abides in us. We abide certainly in the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. Then this thought of abide again is this thought of being connected. I think of the illustration we looked at a few weeks ago of the vine that Jesus gave and the branches, and how we abide in who Christ is. And the things of Christ abide in us. They're a part of us. We're connected. And through that, then we grow spiritually. There's nourishment there in that. And so John says this testifies of our relationship with God. And certainly as we abide, we have this confidence, we have this assurance of who God is and our relationship with God. And so he says here, we know, we've seen, we testify of the truth, because that is who we are. It is now our nature, and we confess it and we believe it. And in that certainly then springs out this thought of love, that we love is evidence. As John is talking about this thought of testifying and knowing, he certainly brings this up at the beginning of this letter, just as way of reminder, back to chapter 1, verse 1. It says, that which we have from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. John had this witness. John had this testimony. He walked with Jesus. He held Jesus' hand. He saw him. He heard him. Physically, right? John says that. I testify, I am a witness to that. But greater than that are those who abide in Christ. Those who have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in them, that know Him, that have this evidence that they've been born again, that they are saved. And so they confess. We confess with our mouths the truth. We confess with our hearts the truth. We confess with our deeds, with the things that we do, that this is true, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we abide in Him. And so we have this personal experience. We have this personal trust in what God has provided for us, and that provision is love through Jesus Christ, His Son, the salvation. And so as we've personally experienced that, as we abide in Him, certainly then John again calls us that we need to love. We need to abide in love. And again, he says God is love. And so we abide in God and God in us, certainly. And as we look at these verses, I see the Trinity at work here. I see this thought of abiding in the Father through the love of Christ, and that the Spirit then dwells in us. Right? The triune God at work here, certainly in our lives. And so we love. We love because we abide in Him. We also love. Number five, we love because we have hope. We love because we have hope. Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So we're told here that love is complete, that love has been made perfect. Just as Jesus is perfect and we're complete and perfect in what God's provision for us. And as John uses this example here of Christ, Christ is accepted and loved by the Father. And so as we are in Christ, we also are accepted and loved by the Father. And we have this great boldness. We have this great hope. And because we have that hope, we love. We have this hope in the day of judgment. We are all going to face a day, right? A day where we are held to account for the way we've lived our lives. All of us. We all, right? We will all be held account. We will go before our Creator. And so in that day of judgment, we have boldness, we have this hope that we are not going to be rejected. We are accepted. We are loved because of Jesus Christ. Not because of who we are, but what Christ has done on our behalf, and because we've accepted His provision of salvation. We are not going to be rejected, and so we have this great and wonderful hope. There are times certainly of discipline. Right? As God's children, right? There are times that when God brings discipline into our lives, that's needed, correction that's needed, but we will never be rejected. Never. And so we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. And as John brings that up, he says here, fear is torment. Fear is suffering. And so in our relationship with God, there's not that. There's not that doubt. There's not that worry. I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship where you just didn't know where you stood. You don't know. There's no confidence. They're like, I don't know where I'm at. And maybe there's a fear there. Maybe there's a doubt and a worry. That's why in marriage, we make vows. We enter into a covenant. To be reassuring to the other person that they don't have to worry, they don't have to fear. It's all explained, it's all right. We are one, and one man and one woman share a relationship that's not to be shared with anyone else. And there's these promises that are made. Now we're human. We don't always keep our promises. But God is perfect. And when God says something, it's true, and we can hold onto that. And so in our relationship with God, we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in doubt. We don't have to worry that on the day of judgment, I don't know what's going to happen. I may be rejected. Maybe I wasn't good enough. Maybe whatever. And if that's your fear, I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you may know that you have eternal life. That you have hope now, that we don't have to live in fear now. And so John says, all right, we have this hope. And so we love because we have boldness, because we have hope, because we don't have to worry about our relationship with God. We're in Jesus Christ. It's taken care of. There's no fear there. There's no worry there. On the day of judgment, we will enter the presence of God, certainly in humility, but knowing that He loves us, knowing that He won't turn us away, knowing that we will not be rejected. And so John is saying, because of that, because we have that hope, then we can also love. And we can be vulnerable. And we can expose ourselves to possible hurt and the rejection of others, knowing that we're grounded in God's love, knowing that He loved us first, knowing that He will never reject us. And so we have this reassurance. We have this reassurance that I don't have to try to prove myself. I don't have to try to prove myself to God. I don't have to earn His favor. He loves me. He's accepted me. Now, John does bring up the negative side here. There are those who don't love God. There are those who are claiming to have a relationship with God, but they're not living it. They're not living it, and it's not real. And as he says here, they reject. They're claiming to be a part of the body of Christ, and yet they hate. They hate their brother. They're jealous of their brother. They're not of God. They're liars. And John's talked about that before. We've talked about that previously, what that looks like. But if we are passionately in love with God, whom we can't see, John says here, who we cannot see, we just know of Him through the Word. If we can't see Him, then surely, we should be able to love each other. We should be able to love our brothers and sisters in Christ who physically are here and among us. And then last of all, here, number six, we love because we're commanded to. So John pulls that card out. We are to love because we're commanded to, verse 21. And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Here's the command. And John says here, okay, like I've given you all these reasons. Yes, it's your new nature. Yes, you abide in Christ. Right? All these things. But then he brings it down to this. It's not an option. It's not optional. It's a command. It's a command of God that we love. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that. Just, this is what you do. You don't need to know the why. And although John did give us the why. There's a command. The command is to love. A love for God that necessitates a selfless love, certainly for His people. I don't know how all of you parent necessarily, but like my kids, you know, sometimes you explain things, right? You tell them these are the rules, and sometimes you tell them why. And then sometimes you don't. Right? You just say, hey, and they're like, why? And you're like, because I said so. Because I said so. Because I'm the authority. Because I said so. And we need to learn that, right? That is something that I think is really important that we learn to understand, that sometimes there are people that have the authority to tell us what to do, and they don't have to tell us why. And we just do it. Right? You got a boss, right? He tells you what to do. And that's okay. That's his job. He doesn't have to tell you why. He's responsible. And as we live, as we grow up, when we understand that concept, I think our lives go a little bit better when we're willing to humble ourselves and understand that. And so John's just saying here, right? Just a reminder, yes, he's given us the why, but also it is a command. We must love. It's not optional. And if we have a relationship with God, if we're claiming to know Him and love Him, then certainly this will be true of us, that we love Him and we love His people. But what's the issue? Me. Right? Self. Pride. Yes, we have the new nature. Right? We do have the new nature. But we still are living with the old nature. Yes, it's been defeated, but the remnants are still there. We're still in this sinful flesh. It's still selfish. It's still prideful. And so the question is, which one are you feeding? Right? Which one are you giving into? Are you feeding the new nature? Are you in God's Word? Are you with His people? Or are you feeding the old nature and giving into that which is selfish and that which gratifies the flesh and that which is prideful? Certainly not a one-time thing. Right? It's not one time, oh, I loved. Now I'm good. Check mark, done. No. Right? It's a lifelong thing. It's a life that we've been called to, a new life that mirrors who we are as a new creation, Jesus Christ. A life that is consumed with loving God and loving His people. And so my prayer this morning as we go through there, and John, right? John doesn't give us any wiggle room. He doesn't say you love if you feel like it, or maybe, right, it just depends on the day. No, this is not optional. It's even on the days when we don't feel like it. It's even on the days when we don't really want to be around people. It's not, right? It's like, this is who we are, love. And so my prayer for us, certainly as the body of Christ, and individually as those who love God, I just pray that you'd have the boldness. That you'd have the boldness to joyfully love. And I pray that God's Spirit would give you wisdom. Wisdom to express that love. Right? Because godly love is not giving in to the wants and desires of other people. Right? It's not at all. It's different than that. It's a selfless love, certainly. But it is a love that glorifies God and who God is. And the greatest love that we can express is by telling people the gospel. Telling people the truth of who God is and what God has done for them. That is the greatest expression of love that God, right, God expressed to us. And it's the greatest expression of love that we can share with others. Encourage them to know Christ, but encourage us as believers together to walk as God has called us to walk. As the body of Christ. That is love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You loved us first. We don't deserve it. It's Your grace, Your mercy. You sent Your Son, and it was a great sacrifice. And we are the beneficiaries of that. And so, Lord, as we have benefited, as we have been shown grace and mercy, help us, O Lord, to also show that love to each other, show that grace and mercy and patience to those around us. O Lord, I just pray that Your truth would be made known through us, that Your love would be made known through us to those around us. Be with us as we go throughout this week, O Lord, be with us. I just pray that we would defeat the old nature, that we would live in victory, that we would overcome. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as we close our service, let's stand.